Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the De'Longhi First Quarter 2025 Consolidated Results. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Fabio De'Longhi, Chief Executive Officer of De'Longhi. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the De'Longhi Group Quarter 1 2025 Results Conference Call. Today, together with me, are Nicola Serafin, Group General Manager; Marco Cenci, Chief Planning and Control Officer; Stefano Biella, CFO; Samuele Chiodetto, Investor Relations Director and M&A Manager; and Sara Mazzucato, IR Specialist. Today, the Group Board of Directors meeting was held at the Accademia del Caffè Espresso of La Marzocco as an introduction for the new Board of Directors to the professional business, and also as a way to highlight the increasing relevance of this area in the Group results and strategic choices. In this regard, let me emphasize that the professional coffee area, now accounting for 13% of total business, grew on a pro forma basis by approximately 22% in the quarter, reflecting a double-digit increase for both companies. Eversys has seen a business recovery in major areas compared to last year, including China, while La Marzocco has benefited from the continuation of upward trend in commercial machines, along with a remarkably strong development pattern in the home space that is yielding positive results in terms of growth. Last month, at Milano Design Week, La Marzocco celebrated its home espresso machine, spotlighting partnerships and collaborations, including Porsche for La Marzocco and House of Negroni. This was just on the recent occasions where La Marzocco connected with people to showcase its profound dedication, quality, and tradition, and was met with incredible enthusiasm and passion for the community. In this optimistic backdrop, the only unexpected news in the last weeks has been Starbucks' decision to stop the cold coffee project. We believe that during this period of great uncertainty, some plans may have shifted, but as frequently stated, no upside from this initiative was factored into the Group guidance or business plan. Therefore, we anticipate no impact. The household business grew by 7.2% in the quarter, confirming the strong trend in the past 2 years and the Group ability to deliver consistent organic mid to high single-digit growth over time. In this quarter, we've been working on several initiatives to gather consumer preferences, investing in design and innovation, and communication. In terms of products, since the start of the year, we've received numerous awards for our distinctive design across all our brands. Just to name a few of them, in the coffee, we won both the iRed Dot and the iF Design Awards with Prima Donna Aromatic, La Specialista Touch and Dedica Duo, all of which were recently launched in the market. In the nutrition area, among many, let me highlight the iRed Dot and the iF Design Awards received for Kenwood Go and the Go Collection products that over the last 2 years have had a great success among consumers. Lastly, let me remark that we have been awarded with the iRed Dot Prize on some products in the brown ironing range, which has been recording a double-digit performance over the last 2 years. In terms of communication, I'm excited to share that we've been working on the third coffee global campaign, starring Brad Pitt as an ambassador, which was launched in the summer and will be the Group's largest ever in terms of consumer reach, leveraging both traditional and social media channels. The previous two campaigns delivered excellent results in terms of growth, market share, and brand equity, allowing us to consolidate our leadership position while fueling an exceptional steady growth in the coffee segment over the last 8 quarters. We're confident that by leveraging this investment, as well as considering the resilience and the attractiveness of our categories, our products, we continue to get consumer preferences, even in potentially challenging scenarios. Now, let me focus on the quarterly results. The group achieved a robust increase in turnover of 14.6% in quarter one, driven by considerable 7.2% organic growth on the household division and a substantial acceleration of the professional division to a pro forma rate of 22%, alongside the consolidation of La Marzocco. Specifically, in the first quarter, the group recorded positive performance across all geographies and for both divisions. In more details, Europe saw a 10.7% increase in turnover, driven by both divisions. In particular, household division grew by 6.6%, with market dynamics in line with what has been seen in the recent quarters. While turnover in countries such as Italy, the Iberian Peninsula, United Kingdom, increased at a significant pace of growth, thanks to the positive performance of coffee machines in the home market. The professional business division instead benefited from the strong return to growth of Eversys, as well as the significant increase of La Marzocco. MEA area recovery continues, with 25.6% increase in quarter one, thanks to the organic acceleration of some countries such as Saudi Arabia and Turkey, and despite the ongoing geopolitical tension in the region. The Americas area experienced an 18.7% growth in quarter one, thanks to a positive performance in both the professional division and the household segment, as well as the partial increase in perimeter. We highlight a significant expansion in coffee for both professional and household division, while the nutrition sector witnessed a decline from last year, also due to a challenging comparison. Finally, Asia Pacific turnover increased by 23.7%, with positive contribution from both divisions. The household segment was driven by China's accelerated expansion and Japan's mid-teens recovery. The first quarter of 2025 observed positive performance from both of the group divisions. Specifically, the following should be noted for the household division. Home coffee achieved an expansion in turnover of around 10%, in line with the structural evolution of the market seen in recent years. We emphasize the positive contribution of all product categories, with significant growth in the quarter of pump machines benefiting from recent product launches. In the quarter, the nutrition and food preparation segment slowed to a low single-digit rate due to challenging comparison with the previous year, despite the good performance of Kenwood kitchen machines and the other products such as blenders and fryers. Finally, we highlight the positive performance of the other categories, comfort, home care, and other, with Braun ironing system confirming the substantial upward trend recorded in the last 2 years. Regarding the professional division, we highlight a solid expansion of the business, which expanded by 22% on a pro forma basis. Both brands achieved double-digit sales increases, with Eversys significantly recovering from the weakness highlighted in 2024, and La Marzocco continuing to strengthen its position in the home luxury segment, thanks to increased brand awareness and exclusive collaborations. Looking now at the evolution of operating margins in the quarter, the net industrial margin increased to 52.3% of revenues from 50.9% in 2024, driven by positive mix, higher volumes, and cost efficiencies. The adjusted EBITDA margin stood at 15.4%, a marked increase compared to 14.2% of last year, backed by the expansion of volumes and improvement of the mix in the household division, as well as by the consolidation of La Marzocco for 2 additional months. Margin improvement was achieved despite increased media and communication investments to support the business growth and the launch of the new campaign. I'd like to point out that the adjusted EBITDA margin increased thanks to an improvement in household division profitability over the previous year, as well as a margin of more than 23% in the professional division. Regarding the tariff uncertainty, during the last conference, we call, we highlighted a potential net impact of 15 to 20 million for the full year 2025. Since then, the situation has evolved, but our teams have been working on a comprehensive tariff mitigation strategy focused on sourcing diversification, commercial actions, and cost control to minimize the potential effect. As a result, we've been accelerating the relocation process with the aim of manufacturing 95% of the U.S. products in Southeast Asia and Europe by the summer, and we are now fine-tuning commercial actions with retailers. By taking these actions, the possible impact should be revised to a total net effect of around 15 million euro for the entire year 2025. In March 2025, the group net financial position stood at 482.8 million euro, up from last year, thanks to cash flow generation before dividends, buybacks, and acquisition of 320.1 million euro in the 12 months. In the first 3 months of the year, cash flow before dividends, buybacks, and acquisition was negative for 124.2 million euros, mainly due to the effect of the cash absorption related to inventory increases, which followed the ordinary seasonality of the business and grew on an extraordinary basis in order to minimize the potential risk deriving from the current scenario. In conclusion, during quarter one, we achieved a 14.6% increase in revenue and further improved profitability, driven by strong acceleration and expanded scope of our professional division, alongside a robust momentum and geographical diversification in the household business. These dynamics once again confirm the strength of our brands and resilience of our core categories. That demonstrates our potential to deliver sustainable and consistent solid mid-single-digit growth over time, while maintaining the best-in-class margins and cash flow generation. The group development and investments over the last decade has provided us with the necessary flexibility, adaptability, and the responsiveness to deal with numerous headwinds. We are thus confident in our ability to handle these complexities and minimize the potential impacts of the evolving international scenario on tariffs. In light of these actions and the favorable trends observed since the start of the year, we reaffirm our 2025 guidance, projecting a 5% to 7% increase in turnover, as well as an adjusted EBITDA of around 580-600 million euro for the new perimeter. We now welcome your questions. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. To remove your question from the question queue, please press star and two. We kindly ask you to use handsets when asking questions. The first question comes from Jane Garal of Barclays.
Hi. Good afternoon, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to ask a few questions. I have three, if you could help me with. So one is that, your clearly Q1 has been very, very strong, but you haven't changed the full year guidance. So is it just conservatism, given where we are in the macro situation? Or you think there has been
interrupt
a
big... you. The line is very disturbed. Can you say again, please?
So what I was asking is that Q1, your revenue growth is almost 15%, but for the full year, you have left your revenue growth guidance unchanged. So is this just conservatism, or you had pull forward of orders ahead of the tariff increase and you are expecting...
Excuse me, sir. Are you able to reconnect because your line is very disturbed?
Sure. Let me be connected.
Okay. Thank you. In the meantime, the next question is from Niccolo Storer of Kepler.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. The first one is on your guidance. So you basically confirmed the net impact from tariffs in around 15 million is nearly the same as of previous indications, but the situation on tariffs is now worse. So, can you tell us which is the gross impact you're expecting, and the impact of mitigation actions that lead to the net 15 million impact? Second question is on, you mentioned before your gross margin improvement, which is quite remarkable. Can you tell us how much of this improvement was driven by, let's say, revenues, and how much from lower cost, add-on cost, if you are seeing some structural maybe savings going forward? Last one on Starbucks. You said that the project with the coffee chain has stopped. Should we think of a final definitive stop, or it's just a pause waiting for maybe some dust to settle and maybe restart again when the situation is calmer? Thank you.
Okay. So the first question, thank you. Thank you, Nicola, for your questions. So the very first question is about the guidance and the net impact of tariffs to our EBITDA, which is now about approximately estimated at 15 million euros. Well, this is the result of multiple variables. The first one is tariffs, which apply not just to China, but also apply to now Middle East, sorry, Southeast Asia and Europe. It also considers potential differences in costs from different sources, and it takes also account potential impacts on the demand side. And also, we have seen in the short term also some differences in exchange rates. So all in all, we have reassessed the impact, and we estimate this now at about 15 million euro. It doesn't change from our last guidance because the strategy we have adopted is to move production for the United States to Southeast Asia. Therefore, the new, let's say, tariffs, which have been reduced to China, are not impacting in a meaningful way to our previous guidance. So that's why you see that the number is pretty much confirmed. Nicola, maybe you want to add something on this, elaborate a little bit?
I think that this is because, let's say that between the two guidance, end of March, and today, a lot of fluctuation is happening in terms of tariffs announcement, and, let's say the skyrocketing of the tariffs is happening in the beginning of April, but was indeed in between, of these two calls that we had. As Fabio's mentioning, this is a mixed effect. We are ready for a relocation over the summer or to Europe and Southeast Asia, where the effect of tariffs is, let's say the known 10%, plus there is some additional extra costs that these countries are bringing. On the other side, we have some commercial actions to mitigate this, and a bit of softening trends in terms of volumes. Overall, the landing spot is expected in this space.
Okay. So the second
Gross margin.
Question was about the gross margin. We had a pretty healthy gross margin. It's mainly due to volume.
Volume and mix.
And mix, some lower costs in some cases.
We have some lower costs. We have some lower costs in terms of cost of goods. So we have, this is giving some limited, but some benefit in terms of higher gross margin. On the other side, we have some additional costs in terms of logistics costs and freight that are hitting below the gross margin. So, but it's more volume and mix effect, the favorable part on this.
Yeah, and the last question about Starbucks. No, it's very unfortunate. Let me, for a moment, say that the Starbucks deal will have no material impact on our on the announced plans. It's very unfortunate. It comes in a moment of major uncertainty in the United States about consumption, also about tariffs. For the moment, is a stop, which for the moment is a definite stop. So, but we will resume discussions probably next year for the following year. But for the moment, for us, we incorporate in zero in our numbers.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, we have Jane Gaurav again from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Is my line clear now or is it still very difficult to hear?
A little better. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So, you know, your Q1 revenue growth is clearly very strong at 14%, and you haven't changed the full year guidance. So is this conservatism or there was some pull forward in demand in Q1, which is why you are leaving the full year guidance unchanged?
Yeah. So the first question, are there any other questions?
Yes, that was one. And second, if you could just comment on the weakness in the food preparation segment, that some timing issues there, or do you expect the nutrition and food preparation segment to be down this year?
Okay. On the first question, we are not changing the guidance because we were foreseeing a much stronger quarter one due to the change of perimeter. I want to say remind you that in this quarter we are consolidating 3 months of La Marzocco, while last year we had only 1 month of La Marzocco. So in reality, our organic growth for the quarter is 8.8% for the group, which is higher than the full year guidance. But we are considering that we have a tougher comparison in the second half. So in the end, we are moving along with our plans, and that's why we are confirming our guidance. Second question about food preparation. We have a tough comparison with last year, in particular with the United States, where we've seen probably also some uncertainty and weakness for the moment. But maybe, Nicola, you can elaborate on this.
No. Overall, the food preparation aside of the effect of the United States is positive. Is still positive. So overall, you see at group level a slightly negative result that is mostly due to the trend in the first quarter in the United States, where food preparation is double digit negative. So aside of the U.S., the overall trend would be positive.
Thank you so much.
The next question is from Natasha Rosen of UBS.
Hello, it's Natasha from UBS. Thank you for taking my questions. A couple of follow-ups, please. So just on the Eversys contract with Starbucks, could you use any of the project or the products that you've been working on to sell to other customers, or are you going to try and keep all the work that you've done in case Starbucks comes back? And can you share how much investment has gone into this project so far? Then a second question, just to come back again on the impact on tariffs. I think you talked about some commercial decisions. Does that mean price rises in the US? Has there been any change in pricing in Q1 in the US? And then my last question is just on very recent current trading. Any change in trends that you've seen since the start of Q2? Thank you.
Okay, first question on Eversys. Well, indeed, with the partnership with the Starbucks, we have developed an incredible know-how on cold brew, which is our intellectual property as the core the core brew unit is our technology. And therefore, we can really use and capitalize on this in the future with new developments, which might appeal the market and eventual new partners and customers. It's a bit too early at the moment to consider this, but definitely there is an option there. I also don't necessarily rule out that there are maybe further discussion with Starbucks, not for the moment, but in the near future, once that maybe the scenario will be different. But at the moment, I think in a nutshell, yes, we have developed a strong technology, but you shouldn't expect Eversys to launch a product in the short term addressing the cold brew opportunity in the market. In terms of costs, we have invested substantial time and resources in R&D. Partially, these investments have been already paid by Starbucks, but they will be fully compensated in the remainder, as is already very clear in the contract and in between the parties. Therefore, we'll have no material effect on our profit and loss, although we will have some chargebacks for our investments and our costs to Starbucks. Second question is about pricing. We have priced price initiatives.
Yes.
Maybe Nicola, you can.
Yes. Yes. Going to the US, we'll have taken some actionable price raise that has had no impact yet in Q1, because these were announced by the end of Q1 and it will start by this month. And these are part of the mitigation initiatives that we mentioned before to offset and mitigate the overall impact of the tariffs and extra costs that we have in the U.S., in the production for the U.S. from Southeast Asia and from Europe. So it will come. And about the current trading, in Q1, U.S. was overall negative in the household business, or let's say slightly negative, with coffee still positive. So we have, an optimistic view on coffee because it was not effective, while nutrition was double-digit negative. So the major area of attention is nutrition. And overall... Yeah, and this is something that we are still seeing nowadays at the start of the second quarter. Overall, this is more than compensated by the growth of the professional coffee, and to name that opportunity in terms of growth are coming from China in this moment, that is growing and more than compensating the U.S. trend.
That's very clear. Thank you so much.
The next question is from Andrea Bonfa of Banca Akros.
Hello, good afternoon to everybody. My first question is a clarification. I understood that like-for-like growth without acquisition was 8.8%. In my calculation was 7.8%, just to clarify that point. And the second one is again on the implied guidance for the next 9 months. Of course, we need to take into account the tariffs impact, which are roughly 50 million at EBITDA level. But this still would imply some 3% growth on the bottom part of the guidance, so quite conservative, I would say. Is that, an element of prudence? This is basically my second question, and the third one, if it's is it possible to have the like-for-like EBITDA growth without the 2 months for La Marzocco? Thank you very much.
So I was referring to 8.8% growth year on year is on a pro forma basis. So considering the the same perimeter for La Marzocco,
including
the two months
of
La Marzocco
in 2024.
Okay.
So it's not like for like.
It's not like for like, it's a pro forma
basis.
Okay, clear.
The second question is about the guidance, the growth.
Yes, for the time, for the time being, we have also second quarter that is in line with the guidance. If we consider the growth that we have in the first quarter that we're incorporating the two months of La Marzocco with this 14%, the current trading is in line with the guidance and the expected fourth quarter where we are expecting a tough comparison. This is the best estimate that we have at this time to be in that space for the whole year.
The third one?
There is like for like.
No, the third one.
Like for like of the
Can you...
La Marzocco.
Like for like of La Marzocco. Okay.
The next question is from Alessandro Cecchini of Equita.
Hello everybody, and thank you for taking my questions. So the first one is actually on the probably at least for us main positive surprise for the quarter is the performance of the professional business that was +22%. So just to better understand what are your expectations for the rest of the year looking at order intake. So just to understand if this quarter benefited from some special context or you see really a very strong momentum and probably professional is I would say less cyclical than the rest of the business. So this is my first question. The second question is a clarification of I mean you stated that your second quarter organic top line is in line with the guidance. Is it already including potential benefits from better air conditioning season or we are still waiting for I mean because I remember the last year was really really negative the air conditioning season. And then finally on the NutriBullet it seems to me that of course U.S. is more a replacement market, so it's likely down, as you said, but I would like to understand your strategy this year for, I mean, geographical expansion in Europe. And finally, in your DNA, you probably accounted for some PPA due to La Marzocco, if you could quantify this number. Thank you.
So the first question about professional, yeah, indeed a strong performance for professional. And the growth, as said, is for both brands. Exceptional result at La Marzocco, where we performed extremely well with, say, the prosumer, the professional coffee machines for the home, with a very strong double-digit growth. But also positive growth coming from the bar equipment. We see good order intake for La Marzocco, as well as also Eversys has delivered a good quarter with a double-digit growth. At the same time, with an order portfolio, which is building up very nicely also for the rest of the year. So we think that we will meet probably in the next quarters our ambitions for a double-digit growth for this division. I think that on a note, household is also, we think, potentially a counter-cyclical business. We have highlighted often that in the difficult times, consumers tend to reallocate their expenses. So probably they will cut back on their major family expenses I'm thinking of buying new cars, maybe moving to a bigger home, spending in major refurbishment for the home. And but they have more, let's say, cash and pocket money available for household appliances, which are often useful gifts. A very cool gift in the moment is, so for sure, coffee machine. So we expect in this scenario to continue to perform well with our coffee machines and food preparation products mainly. Second question is about second question is about the growth in the for the remainder of the year or the second quarter in our air conditioning. So we think that I have to remind you that air conditioning and comfort now accounts for approximately 5% of total group sales. For the moment, we are not incorporating any growth in this division, but more in this segment, but mainly to be fairly in line with last year. So pretty prudent view on this. And I remind you that it's only 5% of total sales, so it's not that meaningful for the group anymore. Third question is about weakness in North America with NutriBullet. It is a replacement business, but at the same time, the personal blenders are also a new segment, in a way, for consumers. But for the moment, it's a weaker market. Maybe, Nicola, you can elaborate on the strategy we were rolling out to grow in the European and international markets.
Let's say that the European international market overall has more than compensated the weaknesses of the U.S., where the U.S. were double-digit decline compared with last year, by the way, on the back of robust growth of last year, and the overall international expansion and the growth in Europe, that is 30 plus percent, has more than compensated this. We have also some initiatives in terms of communication. We have a partnership also with the McLaren Formula One team, with NutriBullet, that is seeding interest around the brand, and so the overall international expansion is well progressing. For the time being, more than offsetting the weaknesses of the U.S. market.
The last one is PPA.
On
the PPA?
Yes.
Alessandro, on PPA, on the DNA, something more than 1 million.
Okay, very little. Finally, it's probably too early because you launched recently two high-end coffee machines fully auto in the U.S., Riveglia, with a very high price point, and also Prima Donna, I think Aromatic also in Europe, so so above 1,000 euros. So I would like to better understand what is the feeling from customers, retailers, from these machines that, of course, are very high positioning in your ranking, of course, excluding La Marzocco.
On Riveglia and also on Riveglia in the US, the response is quite good, and this is one of the reasons why coffee has been strongly positive, double-digit growth, robust in the US over also the first quarter. But overall, Riveglia and the range of products in that space are doing pretty well. For Aromatic, it has been launched a couple of weeks ago in Germany. It's too early to get the signal. Nevertheless, we have an expectation on this to make stronger our position there.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Luca Orsini Baroni of One Invest.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. Can you hear me, by the way?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, okay. I just wanted to understand the impact of the pre-buying in the U.S. ahead of tariffs, and whether that went on sales or whether that went on higher interest. And the second, I couldn't get the answer on the like-for-like of La Marzocco.
Okay, so the question. No, we don't see any major say order intake and delivery to the U.S. retailers in the short term. Actually, you see also, for instance, we had a weakness in blending. So I think that for the moment, sales are in line with actual sell-out trends.
Okay.
The second question about the like-for-like growth of La Marzocco, we didn't disclose the number of the La Marzocco EBITDA last year. And so we are not providing this number at the moment.
Okay. And you had a big jump in gross profit, and you said price and volume. Can you, you said mix and volume. Can you elaborate on the mix side? What was the positive contributor?
Ah, okay. The positive contributor is coming most for coffee. Most for coffee, there was a significant growth of pump with grinder over Europe also, that where we have a robust price. And but overall, the effect is more on volume than mix. Nevertheless, mix is positive and it mostly relates to coffee.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
The next question is from Francesco Brilli of Intermonte.
Good evening. Thanks for taking my questions. A lot of questions has already been answered, but I just have a couple from my side. The first one is just a clarification on the guidance. You said you were somehow ready to confirm the guidance even before the very recent developments on US-China tariffs. So I was wondering if these latest developments add some, at least some additional visibility or confidence on the guidance, or potentially some upside on what you are confirming as of today, based on the action you had planned before and the mitigation actions planned. The second one is a question on logistics, and some companies show some constraints in logistics for shipments to the US in the first quarter. Is it something that you also saw during the quarter, and is the situation normal at the moment, and some color on this? And the third one is on if you can provide some additional color based on what you are seeing now, what you are expecting on the phasing of the growth throughout the remainder of the year in the next quarters. You stated that the second quarter is more in line of with the first quarter, so just to understand the phasing of the second, what you are expecting on the second part of the year. Thank you.
So thank you for the questions. So the first question is, maybe I go back to what I said at the beginning with regards to our initiatives and actions. So we have moved most of our Chinese production for the U.S. into Southern East Asia. This is resulting in some higher tariffs, 10% tariffs on Southern East Asia, with some price effect negative in versus China. But we have also actions on the pricings. We will mitigate the effects of this. The most recent decision of Mr. President Trump are affecting China, but we had already a strategy to move out of China. So in a nutshell, the latest decisions will have no major impact on our strategy that was already to move out of China. We think that in the short term, although we have no benefits in the short term, because of these initiatives, which are resulting in a 15% negative effect on EBITDA, which we have announced. We think that we will have a platform which will be now more diversified, which will allow the group also to optimize its strategy in the future. So we are more protected if things might change again, because now, unfortunately, we heard many different decisions over a very short period of time. We hope that now we're going to get more stability, but we believe that this initiative, the new strategy to have also Southeast Asia as a platform, will make De'Longhi a stronger company with a better position industrial setup. We don't see any constraint on logistics for the moment, on no
first
major.
For
the
quarter,
we had no impact at all. On the color, on the growth, we don't like to give guidance, quarterly guidance. We have a yearly guidance, which we are confirming. You know the guidance between 5 and 7% growth year on year. We have delivered a higher growth in the first quarter. We're going to have a tougher comparison in a nutshell in the second half. I would say that you can expect, just to give you some guidance that we don't want to give on a regular basis, is that a stronger first half and maybe a weaker, which will anyhow meet the year-end targets guidance met.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Isacco Brambilla of Mediobanca.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. Three questions from my side. The first one is on food preparation. There has been a bit of normalization in the first quarter after a very strong final quarter of 2024. How should we think about full year outlook for this division? So directionally, can we expect a bit of an improvement compared to the low single digit decline of the first quarter? Second question is on is a follow up on US tariffs. Could you just confirm your guidance you are embedding for the second half, 30% duties on Chinese goods and 10% duties in the US on goods produced elsewhere as for the say current setup, and also if you can provide a sort of annualized impact for 2026, considering that this year will have some buffers, including the 90 days suspension and some stocks, I imagine you have created. Last question is on the US market. If you can just confirm the performance ex perimeter effect in the first quarter was somewhere in the low single digit growth areas for sales in the Americas region, and also if you can give us a sense of how it evolved throughout the quarter, so January, February, March, a linear development or some say volatility through the month. Thanks.
The first question on food preparation. First of all, I would like to remind that we are confirming the guidance. All in all, we have probably can expect stronger segments and weaker segments for the remainder of the year, but we confirm the guidance. Probably we have been witnessing a weaker food preparation, in particular in the U.S., while in the rest of the world, actually NutriBullet is growing its share, and we see positive momentum for the brand. And we see a bounce back and a growth also at Kenwood, in particular with kitchen machine and food processor. So, but we are now probably considering for the year a weaker food preparation for North America, but confirming that overall guidance for the group. Second, on tariff, I'm just confirming that we're confirming that 15 million euro impact that is already fully incorporated in our numbers. And the new decision of Mr. Trump are not impacting meaningful way what we are doing, because we have already decided to move out of China the production for U.S. Now the product for the U.S. will be made in new facilities in Southeast Asia, namely Indonesia, Thailand, Malaysia, and so forth. Third question is about the low single digit growth in, I confirm the low single digit growth in North America on the back of the weakness of NutriBullet in North America, but a strong performance of coffee machines and our professional division as well.
Thanks, Fabio. Very clear. Great.
The next question is from Victoria Adesina, sorry about that, pardon, from Barclays.
Hi there. Yeah, just on Eversys, I was wondering if you could quantify at all the recovery that you're seeing. I know it was down double digits at some point last year, so if you could give us some kind of inkling as to where it is now. And also, how should we be taking this cancellation of the Starbucks project? Is it a significant loss for Eversys? And just in general, what's the outlook for Eversys specifically now that that project is over? And then secondly, just a clarification on retailers. So are you saying that you haven't seen any evidence of over-ordering in Q1 ahead of the tariffs? Is that what you were saying, or did I get that wrong?
Sorry. Yes. Thank you for the question. So the first question is on Eversys. And yes, Eversys is back to growth. We see positive development in North America, in the key markets, as well as in China. We expect this performance to continue to be positive also in the remainder of the year. And now we expect that, unfortunately, the Starbucks deal that has been announced long ago now is at a stop. But in our growth plan, the Starbucks deal had no material impact. It was not embedded in the numbers yet, as we were just planning 400 units to be delivered in the second half of the year. So confirming that Eversys, despite this, will continue to nicely grow for the year and be around, say, at the expected targets of double-digit growth. With regard to retailer, confirm that we haven't seen any particular build-up of inventory or special order intake from the U.S. retailers in the first quarter.
Also because most of our business in our business model is domestic, so we deliver directly. It is not a direct import from Southeast Asia, so there has been no effect of a front loading to the retailer.
Great, that's clear. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. The next question comes from Luca Bacoccoli of Intesa Sanpaolo.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Very clear.
Okay, good. Yeah. Also, one question on the mitigants. So I'm referring to the price increase that you have planned for the U.S. market. So, first of all, the magnitude of this price increase, and if this is spread all over the product categories or is only focused on the NutriBullet, which are manufactured in China. Then the second question regards the production footprint. If I got it right, you are also moving or relocating some of the Chinese production to Europe. Is that correct? And if yes, to what production you are referring to? And the third one is the on the inventory level, which is higher than last year because of your tactical move ahead of the tariffs. So I was wondering how long will it take you to reduce the inventory to, let's say, more normalized level? Thank you.
Okay.
Nicola, you want to take the questions?
Yeah. Yes. Thank you, Fabio. In terms of price increase, we are applying price increase depending on category to keep as much as possible also competitiveness in the market, but to offset a large part of the tariffs and extra costs, because nowadays in this relocation, we need to consider the 10% of tariffs that we have when we are speaking of Indonesia, Thailand or Europe of production, plus the extra costs that are related to these countries. Eventually the 30% of tariffs that today is in China is just giving an opportunity back of China to be in the game. The price increase will mitigate a good part of this with the, let's say, the residual part that will be the 50 million that we have estimated. In terms of production footprint, we are relocating part of the coffee production for U.S., destinated to U.S. in our Romania factory. Some of the production that we had in our manufacturing plant in China will be produced in Europe. In terms of inventory level, let's say that we had an inventory that was good enough to cover this relocation time. This is why one of the reason why the tariffs, the spike of tariffs to more than 100% on China was something that we had offset immediately in terms of potential hit, because we had no need of supply from China.
Okay. Do you expect to reduce this level by the end of second quarter or?
Let's say by the third quarter. Not by the end of the second, but along the third.
Okay, 6 months on. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
The next question is a follow-up from Alessandro Cecchini of Equita.
Thank you for taking my question. Just about the new campaign, Brad Pitt. Just to better clarify, you are expecting the largest probably ever in terms of communication. Do you expect to use different or enhanced channels? Just to understand what kind of deltas so you are expecting for to reach more, I mean, more in China. Just to understand your pipeline. Thank you.
Okay. In terms of the shooting has been done, so the campaign is in production in this moment. It will be on air over the summer. Obviously we have increased, it will be the largest ever because we are increasing year-on-year our advertising spend. In this increase of advertising spend, we are also differentiating our media mix modeling. We are going across more channel to increase the reach of our consumer. This is a bit different country by country, also in terms of optimization model, in terms of spending that we can have in different countries. This is what we are planning for this year.
Okay, thank you.
For any further questions, please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Mr. De'Longhi, there are no questions registered at this time, sir.
Okay. Thank you all for attending the De'Longhi quarter one conference call. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining. The conference is now over, and you may disconnect your telephones.